Loving Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can come into thy sweet presence this morning and sing all of these awesome songs and remind ourselves that our name has been written down in glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can again think that I am bound for heaven. What a great joy it is, Lord, that my destination is heaven. And thank you, Lord, for the reminder that we are pilgrims in this land. And Lord Jesus, I will never be found roaming in this earth, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that great hope that you have given us. Lord, as we look into the Word this morning, we pray that your presence will be real. Lord, I look into you, Lord, and I hide myself behind your wonderful cross and ask you, Lord Jesus, to be my mouth. And Lord Jesus, as we look into thy Word, Lord, we pray that you will keep all distractions away and we will focus only on you and the work that you have done and what you want to communicate to us this morning. So we ask all of these things in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to actually start by asking a question. So you'll have to pay attention because I'm going to ask everyone an answer. What's the question? There's a great difference in fully expecting something to happen and merely thinking it would happen. So what's the question? There was no question in that. It's the Lord coming again. Yeah. It's a question. That's a great question. But the reason I made it that it was not a question as such, because I the statement that I said, there is a great difference between fully expecting something and merely thinking that it would happen. It's not actually a question, I'm just making a statement. The reason I asked a question is because I wanted everyone in this room to think about these two things. Fully expecting and merely thinking it might happen. And the right way, obviously, to just think about those two things is what are some of the things that we expect? Some of the events that we... And we'll keep the spiritual aside for a minute. And we'll come to that because that is the message that our Lord is coming. But we'll just think about a couple of things that we think we are expecting, fully expecting. You know, that's the word, fully expecting. Auntie.
The birth of Stella and Sarah's babies.
Absolutely. We are fully expecting that will happen. And praise the Lord. I see the faith, Auntie, working in you. Praise the Lord. Merely thinking it would happen.
It might rain
today. Very good. You know, there is a mightness to that. I just want to quote a few more things which...
The sun will rise tomorrow morning.
That is fully expecting that, right? And any other fully expecting things?
The sun will go down tonight.
Sun will go down tonight. Wow, wonderful. Anything else? Merely expecting something would happen. Now, I was thinking about these two things and I came up with a few things now, like... For example, you know, we can be talking generically about, I don't know, in the office people keep talking especially about economy this year. What's the business outlook? People keep talking about the interest rates are going up or down or this thing is happening. But there's no certainty to any of those things. And all these events, they know it's going to happen. Economy can either go up or down, but there is no certainty to the economy. There is no certainty to the interest. And there's other things like very certain, you know, you've used your mobile phone for the month and what do you expect next month? A bill. there is no doubt you will get a bill. That is absolutely certain you will get a bill. You know, there is no, or if you don't get it for the next month, in arrears you will get it in some, you know, at some time. Again, same is the case with if you've got a mortgage, you know, and if you've got a mortgage, what do you expect? The bank to send you? The repayment thing. And if you just think about that subject of fully expecting and the subject of merely thinking, what do we typically do? In one way, shape or form, we are prepared, aren't we? You prepare yourself based on what you are going to expect. We will not prepare ourselves if the economy is, oh yeah, whatever. You know, some might, if they are very sure, 100% sure this is what's going to happen, they might do some things. So the fact, the underlying principle is we prepare ourselves based on what we expect. It's our we prepare ourselves based on what we expect. Now, there's two words that I've used, preparation and what we expect. So last Saturday, you know, we met as a youth. There's a few youth here. We all, you know, were reading just a few verses. Just a few verses we read. We had a good time, by the way. You know, we met as a youth and we had some testimonies and we had a nice trivia. But there was one thing in that, you know, I don't know if anyone remembers from the youth, that I braced up. Does anyone remember what I raised? One thing, that the first thing that I raised, that in that reading in Acts chapter 1, we are doing Acts, and we're reading from, you know, we did 1 to 8 before we actually met last month, and this time we met from, you know, read from Acts chapter 1, 9 till a little bit about till 18. And the one thing that was sticking in my head, no, it looks like no one remembers, but you read that. Did anyone say something? No? This is the words that was sticking in my head, and while, this is verse 10, chapter 1, verse 10. Sorry, Jeeth, you missed our youth meeting. You need to come. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in the white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So, history of the Bible, 4,000 years have gone. He came and he went around 40 days and he left. And that's the moment these two angels are telling, "Why are you looking so amazed? The way he went, he's going to come back again." That's the event. That's the event here. And we will look into that event. And what I really wanted to share is based on things that happened to me last week, I was thinking on that event and comparing with all the things that I am, you know, I don't, like Uncle, couldn't remember if it was last Sunday. I also had no clue. I was thinking it was really 2 weeks gone past, but it's probably the things that we get engrossed. And not only that, because we also meet on, you know, I met Johnson on Thursday, we meet on Friday, so we meet, so it's all gone quickly from my head. Probably my memory itself is not that good. But anyway, the fact that I want to share this morning is on that event, that the way Jesus went up, he's going to come back again. So if you think, each one of us in this room, we have sang this song just before this, "Our name has been written down in glory." And Stella Worship, this morning, she sang a song. She's not here, but is she? All right, okay. So she sang a song that, which is again on the same subject, that he will return. He will return. And that's a fully expected event to happen. But there's two things on such events. We could probably start to think on anything that you fully expect. There is a preparation. I said that word. There is some preparation that we need to do. And preparation can be such that, now I'll just take the spiritual out and just say, if we are going up to travel somewhere, you know, tomorrow I'm jumping in a plane to go to, I don't know, Wellington. So I have to do X amount of things. Everything. Book the ticket, get the passports ready, pack my bags, put everything. List of things. And finally, at about maybe 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the night, I've ticked everything, then I can relax. Now I can sit down with Toby and say, "Let's have a chat. I've done everything. Now this is time. There is no more preparation required because I've done everything that I could do for that event." Right? At least what I think I could have done. You know, there might be something more, but there is a stop, full stop to that. Same is the case with, you know, if you have anything that, you know, yesterday, Toby and I had a few things to do since morning, and we were doing, and everything was going wrong. In the midst of all of the preparation, I had to pray, and I'll share what we prayed and how the Lord blessed in about 10 minutes' time. But towards the end, from morning, 8 o'clock, till about, what time it was, about 6:45, you know, everything was finished, and then I came out and sat down on a chair and said, "Oh, that's it. Perfect. Now we're waiting for whom we're expecting. We're expecting someone to come to our home, we're going to have dinner with us, so you're busy with that. I had to do lawn moving, I had to do this, we had to do shopping. That happened, this happened, a lot of things. But it was that moment from 6:45 to 7:15, we were both sitting on a chair outside our home, doing nothing, thinking. So that preparation for that event had finished, basically. So Toby's saying, I'm going to sit down, do nothing, and meal. So yeah, perfect, we'll sit down and finish. So that is one type of preparation, where you think we have finished everything that we have to do, and you sit down and take rest. There's also another type of preparation, where there is no opportunity to sit down and take rest. And that's the kind of preparation that we as believers need to have. We as people who have trusted the Lord. That's the kind of preparation that the Lord spoke to me during this week, that I need to be prepared for that unexpected arrival. Because we know that He is coming at a time when no one expects. He's coming like a thief. There is two types of preparations, I said. One is you've finished everything, you can sit down. And if we take now that to a spiritual sense, I can do everything that I wanted. I wanted to do this for Christ, I wanted to do that for Christ, and I've finished everything, now I'm not going to do anything. That's definitely not the preparation Lord is talking. Because all the three things I said, I, you know, it's obviously not spiritual at all when I say I wanted to do something for Christ. I cannot do anything without my God's help. And I realized that yesterday during something. And that's what I wanted to share. You know, I was saying, I'm going to do lawn mowing. I'll finish the lawn mowing. I will go back, clean the car, take it for vacuuming. I was thinking, Bible. So I went up to, I told Toby, it's 8 o'clock. I'm going to go to Bunnings, get my, you know, we didn't have petrol for the lawnmower, so I went to Bunnings. I don't know, I spent more than the time that I was supposed to spend roaming around, something else that I could buy, which I had no clue what I wanted to buy. But I brought the petrol can first thing, then I was thinking, is there anything else that I could have bought? Anyway, time's gone, I've come back home, I put the petrol in the lawnmower, and the lawnmower doesn't work. And I know why it doesn't work, because last time I put some petrol which was a bit contaminated with rust in it. And anyway, to cut that long story short, the lawnmower doesn't work, and I have a problem, because now I have not been able to achieve what I wanted. Because I did all that planning, right? I wanted to do so many things, and it's not working. Now I'm starting to struggle, because 2.5 hours have gone. Now what should I do? I've been trying to do, you know, crank up the lawnmower. Doesn't work. Neighbors are coming and asking, do you want my lawnmower? So now, I'll fix this. But I went inside and made up my mind, I'm going to buy a lawnmower now. So I need to fix this. Then I spoke to Toby, and Toby said, you know, why? How about calling a few, you know, we can call Prince and get something done, or we can even, you know, call someone to cut our grass. So I made all of that preparation. So I was starting to call people out and say, is there someone who can quickly come in? Because I wanted to get it done. That was just like, it's been too many days. I wanted to get it done. Then I, all of a sudden, I was trying to work it out. I was reading and I could not understand what to do. Calling people, no one is ready to come. Then you know what happened? I felt burdened to pray. And that was amazing. I prayed and I said, Lord, this is the circumstance. I probably did not even put all of these plans in front of God, that this is all I want to accomplish. And I really prayed to God, help me with this. I want to finish this off. And we finished that off. No answer for the next 5 minutes. And then I go back into my car saying, okay, I'll go out and see, you know, what's the price of lawnmowers and things like that. I receive a call back in about 5-6 minutes. And then the Lord answered me at that moment. So the reason I told you all of that was I forgot to pray. When I planned, I forgot to include him in my plans. I started to work out what I wanted to do, and I didn't hit anywhere closer to where we wanted to. But then I realized again, the Lord taught me that everything and anything, He's got an open door to come. And in the same instance, coming back to the same point that we were looking at, when we are preparing for an expected event, fully expecting event, the Lord spoke to my heart that I have to be fully in His will rather than putting anything of my own self in anything that I do. That's the first thing. So if you think about another example that I can give on the subject of fully expecting something to be happen and being prepared, we'll come back to again something like an earthly example where you are in charge of a big office, Raj, you know, big office, and you've been your boss has told Raj that, you know what, and I'm going away for a short trip, or maybe a little bit longer than that, but I'm going away for a short trip, so you need to do all of these things. And he said that I'll come back by the end of November. So, you know, you're a young boy, you're now the in charge of the whole office. There's a tendency to do whatever you feel like, isn't it? Like, you know, get lost in the activities in the office. Sometimes I know what happens when our senior management is not in my office. There is no one in the office. There's all of a sudden, all screens you will see YouTube. If you're just walking around the office, especially when there is vice president of sales in the office, the whole sales is like heads. Now, when this vice president of sales is traveling to Japan, there is no one, you know, probably one person here, another person there, a few people in the kitchen. Or obviously, they're supposed to be doing some work, but some are watching movies, some have retired early to the, you know, the locations nearby. By 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, they've all gone because this guy's, his flight is going to come on a certain date. And until that flight arrives, you know, we can do what we want. And no one is there to care for. And that also is, you know, if I just use that as an example, is many times if that reality of that unexpected arrival is not there, we tend to slack off. And we tend to slack off on many things by not having that reality of an unexpected arrival. Now, we'll read how Paul was writing to the various churches that he wrote. And when he wrote, he was for a long period convinced that in his time, Lord is going to come back. But yet, you know, later he understood that's not in his time. But yet, 2,000 years have gone. And we see many, many, many souls throughout history have lived their life expecting the Lord will return in a time, their time or not their time. So it comes back to that question that the Lord put on my heart. Like, there is preparation required when you are fully expecting something. There's two types of preparation. One is preparation, which I can do. I have to do this. I have to go that meeting, this meeting. I have to attend this thing, that thing. That's it, finished. And that's probably what I did yesterday, half a day. You know, you have to do all of these things. Nothing worked, and I understood that that's not the way. But there's another type of preparation where it's preparing together with the Lord, fully faithful. And there's a lot of parables, and we've been looking at kingdom parables, and I think Uncle will cover that shortly in the parables in 25. Is it coming this week, Uncle? Oh, this month? The chapter 25 parables?
No.
No, have to wait. Yeah, next month. So we'll cover those parables. It will come soon. And in that sits three parables in chapter 25 of Matthew, where, you know, there's obviously the wise and the foolish virgins. We all know about that story. But there's also this story about the servants. Not a story, it's a parable of you know, how the owner of that land entrusted the servants. And we'll look a little bit on that subject. But we'll probably also read one nice way that Paul approached the people of Thessalonians. And this is in his second missionary trip. He had great joy to, you know, it was just a short trip that he was making from Philippi to Berea. And on his second missionary trip, Paul was writing to these people, you know, and he had already sent Timothy over there as well. And Timothy had given a report. And in that Thessalonians chapter, that's the bulk of the reading today. And there's a lot in that chapter. And we'll only probably read some. Actually, in my mind, I wanted to read only 10 verses, but I'm not going to do that because it's also connected from 4 to all the way to the end. So hope we don't mind reading a little bit of lengthy portion this morning. But we'll read that and we'll look at a few thoughts that the Lord put on my heart. There's a lot of things in there, but just a few things that the Lord has burdened me to speak this morning, primarily speaking to myself much more than anyone else. And I'll make that very clear because this is through the week. With too many things that has happened, even this morning, there's something that I will share that I was just, this is, Lord is speaking. If my Lord comes today at 10:08, I'm not prepared. But I was not prepared because I haven't left my home at 10:08. B, I was driving at a very, very high rate to get here in a speed sense. And there's many times I can look in many of, from the time that I've known the Lord, if the Lord came at that time, the Lord will not find me prepared. The Lord will not find me at peace. The Lord will not see me at the same joy. The Lord might miss the faith that I had initially when I saw him. So in these readings, all of the things that I'm going to say for the next 5-10 minutes is more applicable to me than anyone else. So please don't misunderstand me. Right? So let's read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 onwards. So let's read just in sections so that we can look at those little sections. So we'll read 9 to 12, then we'll read 13 to the end of that chapter, and then read the next verse from chapter 5, 1 to 11, and then the end of the chapter. So 4 or 5 sections, some key themes, and then we'll finish. There's nothing much I can say when we just read this, because there's no reason to say anything more. This is so appropriate to me and each one of us as we are waiting for that unexpected arrival of our Lord and Savior. So what does Paul say? But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so towards all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your own hands, as we have commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Now, this is a quick reading of about 3 verses. But just the theme that I got here, Paul is telling the people of Thessalonians, not that they don't love one another, but he is urging brethren, increase more and more. So it's not a start-stop scenario. It's a perpetual increase in exhortation. It's telling, it's comforting, telling. That's the right order. That's the way to do it. You know, you love one another in this people and you're doing that perfect. That's great. But do that more and more. And I don't know if you picked up. It says, live a quiet life. Quiet doing nothing. There's a few things like that. In one of the readings in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, do not sleep. And here it says, quiet, be sober. There's words like that used. Quiet life. What is the quiet life for this people of Thessalonians? I'll ask. I want to learn as well. What do we think? What's a quiet life?
Quiet time with the Lord.
Okay. Anything broader than that? Quiet life. This is what he's saying. Aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside and that you may lack nothing.
Not to be the noise of the neighborhood, the loudest house on the block. So parties every Friday night kind of stuff.
Yeah. Quiet life.
To do what God has put before you without having to try to rush around and run around trying to fix all the world's problems or whatever. To just walk before the Lord in a daily life. What daily. He has given us to do.
Yes, Uncle. Yes, Uncle. That's the word that was that daily life. Walk in whatever has been given. Nothing out of the ordinary, nothing supernatural, not thinking, oh God, I can't be Billy Graham today saving 10,000 souls or getting. Lord has given each one of us something to do today. And that is living that walk daily in peace, at peace, fully at peace, not becoming a Buddha or doing nothing and saying, Lord is expecting us to use our hands here. That's what he said. Do what you have been given to. You know, he's not asking each one of us to resign from our occupation and do anything. Nothing out of the ordinary. Absolutely simple, quiet life. Very quiet life. So I also tried to summarize that order through loving more and more. Order. You know, we can be completely out of order. Here, this is what Paul was reminding after the report that he got from Timothy, that this is what we have to do. So in the first few chapters of Thessalonians, Paul is very comforting like a mother, And towards the end, Paul is here telling things. These are spiritual meat. You know, take this, take this, take this. This is very important. And again, that comes back to, you know, the joy and the peace that we have when we come to him daily. And Jeet said, having a quiet time. We get that quiet time, our life also towards others become a bit quiet. Regardless of the circumstances that we are placed in, and Satan puts in front of us, we become quiet. So that's that first few readings there, which if we believe, is now very important in this second section that we are reading, verse from 13 onwards. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there is the most fundamental thing of this section is if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. That's a very fundamental thing here in this section. So let me just read that from 13 till to the end of that chapter. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I was just underlining things and a couple of things. If we believe, so if we believe has been said, and I raised that point. The reason being is that there is a question there. If we believe, and if we have already, great, then there is great comfort. But if we haven't, comes judgment. If we haven't believed in that God in our fullness of our heart, and if we are not included, then we are not included in this comforting promise of being with the Lord. So the opportunity exists even now, even anytime as such, but even now the opportunity exists that we can believe in that God who has given us this great joy to be with him forever. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. So the other thing, the other subject here was the suddenness of the arrival. You know, now, there's no mention anywhere in the Bible when. It's like a thief. It's sudden. It's going to happen, but it comes at a time when no one expects. It could come now. Uncle already, before we started, we don't know. We can be here next week or not. We don't know. And if we don't know, we have a great responsibility to live our lives every day coming to the author and finisher of our faith for the help that we need. For sufficient is the day's troubles. It is extremely important daily that I submit myself to this God who is calling and giving us everything that we need. And now when we read the next chapter, this is how do we do it? How can we be prepared? It's not preparation with some very grandiose preparation. It's very simple, but yet important. It comes with these three things. You should have the breastplate of faith, and love. Faith and love. Faith and love. Very simple. After having the youth meeting on Saturday, we finished off and I watched a movie called Heaven is for Real. Has anyone seen that movie, Heaven is for Real? Okay, so I'll not tell a lot of the story as such. But this is, just to give you a little high-level synopsis, Heaven is for Real. This is a story about a young boy who had, in America, somewhere, I don't know the state, but somewhere in Midtown America, this young boy had some sort of appendix, open, broken appendix, and he was taken to the hospital, and he went through a near-death experience. And his father actually was a pastor of a local church. So obviously the movie started off with the pastor giving messages in the local church and you know, preaching, and he's also a firefighter, and he does this thing and that thing. And this little four-year-old boy goes through a near-death scenario where he actually comes back alive. But once he comes back, the story says, it's a real-life story, so I'm going to believe it at face value, that he was exposed to heaven. He had descriptions of things that happened in this man's life, in this grandfather's life. He had things that that his father could not ever expect a four-year-old who would know. So he saw Jesus, he saw the heaven, and he saw the wonderful beauty of that heaven. And he was saying about people, especially he had a young sister who died in the womb, and he was telling about that sister and so many beautiful things. There's a lot of that, but I wouldn't cover all of that. But when this story was told by this four-year-old to this grown-up pastor, this pastor's life has changed. The pastor's thinking, you saw Jesus, you saw heaven. The pastor's life changed. And it's changed so much that he started believing in what he thought. And it's changed to a point that his wife was telling, we have bills to pay. I can understand these kind of things have happened. We have moved on from the fact and things like that. But this pastor is now thinking, but Colton knows about this. He went to heaven. You're talking of heaven here. Forget about the bills. Forget about $27,000. Forget about everything. He went to heaven. He saw Jesus, and he saw Jesus with scars in his hands. That's what the boy said. So it's a number one, you know, movie that's being released. So if you don't want to go to the theaters, you can borrow the DVD from me. So I wouldn't give more details of that movie. But again, that pastor could acknowledge and had an event that he probably was not 100% sure, and then his life was, you know, there was a reality to that. And what does that mean? And what does that mean to each one of us? We are living in an unexpected time of his arrival. And there is no opportunity to slack off. There is no opportunity to be found not at peace. And you know, it could be anything. I often remind myself when I am kind of disciplining my two boys that the way I discipline has also to, there's a lot to do in it. I can't lose it altogether. I can't, you know, there's a way to do it. I can't lose my peace on that subject. Mm-hmm. I can't lose my peace because I'm running late. I can't lose my peace at office when my surroundings has influenced me, and I have, you know, I'm now kind of anxious and I'm worried and I'm fearful. But the Lord gives such great encouragement that he knows he's there. Do not fear. You are the sons of the light. I am with you always, reminding myself, reminding me every day that there's such great opportunity to forget about everything that is going in this world, but not ignoring what God has given me to do, but living that simple daily walk in everything that I do, not to do something out of the ordinary, but to just simply just look at the, have a quiet time with the Lord every day and look at each of these things which can minister to my heart. So when Paul starts to write about this subject, he finishes off, comfort one another with these words. Isn't it very comforting to comfort one another with these words, that he is coming and he will come. It is not a merely happening event. It's a fully expected event that has been sealed, and there is no time difference. I was looking at the clock this morning. If it is 7 o'clock, it is going to be 7 o'clock. I cannot make it 6:48 or 7:10. It is going to be 7 o'clock. And it is a fully expecting event. So what's my opportunity here is to comfort me, myself first, and one another when they need. Comforting one another. Lord is coming. Raj, when we are in that position of being left alone with some work, we are. We are his bride. And he is the bridegroom. And the marriage hasn't happened yet. And the bride has full responsibility to daily expect that event when the marriage will happen. And I when I was thinking about that subject, I was thinking about how Toby was expecting me during this week and to come at maybe 8:30. And she was waiting till 1 o'clock in the night because I came that late. And she was, you know, she was calling me. I was saying, yeah, I'm coming, because I had an after work function that I had to go to. And anyway, so regardless of all the details, what I wanted to say is that she was expecting that I'll come, and she could not sleep. And I was very upset. So why just didn't I tell her I'll come late? Why don't you go to sleep? So I'll come late. I know, no, but I have to wait. So the point I wanted to make was she was waiting. And this is a husband and a wife relationship. She was saying, oh, but I want to make sure you have arrived. I want to make sure, I have to make sure you have arrived. And that's also in lines with as the bride of that wonderful bridegroom. We have to make sure that we do the business of our Lord in every day, every moment of the day. Everything that we do, it's a daily thing. Not something extraordinary, but simple things. Whatever He has called you to do, called me to do, what He have called each one of us, there's different things that we are doing in this room. Not all of us are not doing the same thing. Some are looking after kids, some are going to school, some are staying at home, some are going to work, whatever. There is definitely something that we can do in our daily walk. So what does the Lord finish off through Paul by exhorting the Thessalonians in this chapter? Shall we read 1 to 11? I'll share a few thoughts and then we'll do the last section and finish off with that. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But hear this, this is applicable to you, it's applicable to me. Verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Question mark. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other, edify one another, just as you also are doing. This is also finishing off with the same theme. Comforting, edifying, just as we are all doing. But here comes again that subject, thief. You are not of the darkness, but you are sons of light. So we should not be overtaken when this day arrives. We should be watching. We should be watching and we should be sober. And again, anytime I hear that watchword, you know, for some reason it reminds me a soldier standing on top of a boundary, looking all the time with his binoculars, looking at maybe India-Pakistan border. If some terrorists are coming into from Pakistan into India, I don't know, maybe the other way around also. But there's a soldier who is watching, and he has no opportunity to go to sleep, as we see in some movies how thieves come. You know, they go to sleep and thieves come. There's no opportunity to sleep. Now, this is not literal sleep. Like, I hope you know, I'm going to sleep from today. It's not literal sleeping. But it says, do not sleep. It's a spiritual sleep. It's the sleeping that we all can fall into when we look at all our things that we have to do. When I look at all the things that I have to do for tomorrow, I will be having so much headache that I probably will not be even able to preach anything. I would not be able to say that because there's so many things I have to accomplish. I don't know what's going to happen. This thing, that thing. I don't know how last week went. There's so many things. But the Lord is telling, watch. Not for what is going around, but watch. He is coming to me. And that is comforting first to me, and I can comfort others as well whose lives are in a lot of things. And that's exactly what the Lord is telling here. Let us watch and be sober. What is sober? What does it mean to be sober?
Be still.
Okay.
Be silly. Don't be foolish.
Silly? Don't be foolish.
Not be drunk.
Don't be drunk. True. Don't be drunk in the lust of this world. You know, there's so many things that we can be drunk in thinking, right? But not the literal wine, but yeah. Control. Discipline. I would use that word discipline, and that's what I wrote down. Discipline. And Paul uses this example. Discipline. He uses terms on military. And I know Uncle, I remember that Uncle, by the way, that you shared about the Queen of England. Remember that story that Uncle shared, the Queen of England, when she overheard and her life was changed? And I was thinking, well, yes, Uncle said, we're all kings. And I thought, I'm not living like a king every day. I might be some days, some moments, but every day. That was what came into my heart. I don't know what came into your heart. If there is something, share. I'm happy to, you know, use that as also as something which is real. If I am a king, I have a responsibility. That's what I told this morning, Josh and Caleb, when they had absolutely no responsibility to help us come on time, saying, you are a king, you have to do. And I just said that, and Josh was sitting in the front. He said, yes, I will sit in the front. I'm going to listen. Apart from all of that, there is a discipline. There is a military nature that is described here. There is this breastplate that has been described. Faith and love. How interesting, is nothing else mentioned. Faith and love. Faith will take us, if we have faith, for everything that comes our way today or tomorrow or the next week. Our Lord is with us and He's going to guide us. And if I have faith to pray like I did when the lawnmower was not working, for every opportunity, if I have enough faith for every time to pray, as towards the end of this chapter, Paul is again reminding, rejoice, pray without ceasing. Beautiful verse he's telling. Rejoice, pray without ceasing. And if we have that faith, this breastplate and the helmet of salvation, we will make it through. We will make it through this age that we are all being put through as a pilgrim. And we have to make it through. We have to remind ourselves. We have to not forget that this is my breastplate. This is my breastplate of faith. This is which I can stop all the darts that enemy will put towards me. And there is tremendous amount of enemy activity that is around each one of us. I can see when I get upset, when I say, I start blaming others, saying, you're late, but I was also late, you know, or something else. There is tremendous amount of things, you know, from people, from ourselves, from others, from the church. You know, we can use the faith that has been given to us to shield that. And that's what we're saying. Not only the faith and the breastplate of righteousness, but remind ourselves, we have a helmet of salvation. You know, nothing can affect our head. You know, everything else is conquerable, but you know, our salvation is secure with that. If we don't have that helmet, we are in a big problem. We are not prepared for that event at all. We are not fully prepared for that event that is coming. If we are not in Christ, we know we are not prepared. If we haven't believed, we know we are not fully prepared, and by any of our antiques or strength or anything that we've got, we will not be prepared. But we've got that. Now that we've got that, let us use the other things. And that's what Lord told me this week. Let's use that. Let's use that for every subject that we can put under the blood of Lord. So what does there's a lot of other exhortations, by the way, towards this last session, which is basically, We know about all of these things, but let's just read this, and I'll just share two or three thoughts that I had, and then we'll finish off with that. 12 to the end of the chapter. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourself. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient withal, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. A lot of things. We can't cover all of these things in the next, even if we have to cover all these things, it'll take a lot. But two things that came to my mind is that last verse, grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Yeah, that is something, it's not going to depart from me ever. That's what the Lord has given me, grace, His grace. And all I need is to put that faith and accept that grace is enough for my day. And there's a lot of other things that I can do, but the most important thing that spoke when I read this, you know, I didn't intend to read this and share anything from this, is that rejoice always. Rejoice always. And we sing this song, we know this song, we know this verse by heart, but I cannot rejoice always. But the Lord is still telling me I can rejoice always in all circumstances. There is no circumstances that can rob me of that great joy, that great grace that He has given me to be in His presence forever and ever and ever. Now, when I look at that event, when I look at that future event, and I focus more on that and start thinking more on that event when I'll be with Him forever and ever and ever, I can rejoice. But sometimes I forget and I focus on all of these things. But that also reminds me that I have to pray without ceasing every day, so that these things that come up in this way and that way will not stop me from the joy and the peace that I have in Christ. The peace is a fantastic peace that we have. There is nothing that can rob us or should rob us of that peace. But I know for myself, when circumstances change, that is gone. But as in closing, I'll just finish off with this verse, and I won't say a thing. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Amen.